Please note, we are unable to play the songs referenced in this episode due to the legal stuff on this platform. For the full immersive experience, listen to DYUHWW on Mixcloud.com or play the songs on your favorite music streaming platform.
Do you understand how words work?
Do you understand how words work?
Do you understand how words work? Do you understand how words work?
Do you understand how words work?
Do you understand how words work?
Do you understand how words work? Do you understand how words work? Greetings and welcome to Do You Understand How Words Work? Where we explore and expound on words and phrases using musical and spiritual context for the enhancement of the collective. That's all of us. I'm your host, Ms. Nina Davis, keeping it real and holy as we journey together and ask the question, do you understand how words work? Because there's a lot of misuse and misunderstanding out there on how words actually work. Some humans have never thought about how words work. They just use them and casually toss them here and there without ever wondering about the impact of their choice and delivery of words. Well, we are going to think about, discuss, and apply spiritual context to some words and phrases often abused in our society. So get your stylus and touchscreen device of choice, or pen and paper if you're old school, because life-changing information is imminent. In today's episode, we are discussing the phrase, love your neighbor as yourself. We will be covering the historical, societal, and spiritual context of this common but often misapplied golden rule of life. To help us navigate the nuances of the phrase, love your neighbor as yourself, we will be joined by two very special guest MCs that you don't want to miss. They drop knowledge, wisdom, and perspective on this topic. Plus, we have curated a very loving playlist of music relevant to today's topic. And if you completed the Love Your Neighbor as Yourself survey, your song is on the list. Thank you very much for engaging. In our first segment, let's dive into the history of the phrase, love your neighbor as yourself. The principle can be traced back to the Torah and Old Testament of the Bible in Leviticus 19:18, which, translated in the Message version of the Bible, reads,
don't seek revenge or carry a grudge against any of your people. Love your neighbor as yourself. I am God.
Of course, you don't have to be Jewish, Christian, or religious at all to practice this direct command from God. Additionally, the words your neighbor arguably expand to include all of humanity in this age of instant connection regardless of distance if we have access to the World Wide Web via any number of wearable, handheld, and stationary devices. Also worth mentioning, your people includes the most diversified and group of humans because of Leviticus 19:34. Even foreigners are to be treated as kinfolk. So, basically, our people are all people. Plus, for Christians, all believers become family through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Should we also consider family as neighbors? Do we treat family differently than neighbors? Think about that. Another key point, which sets up our first musical selection coming up in mere moments, is that to love requires action. It requires more than just waving at the people across the street every weekday morning as we all leave for work. It requires more than being nice to the people we go to church, temple, synagogue, school, or work with. It requires checking in on them. Do they have enough food? Do they have issues or praise reports they'd like to share? Please check on your people if you love them. So, as we contemplate how the words love your neighbor as yourself work, meaning when context is applied, what is the intended meaning and outcome? Let's listen to this musical selection that speaks to the topic of love in action. Here is Lean on Me by Bill Withers. For those watching via the YouTube link, you'll not hear the song as the lyrics are displayed due to copyright laws. However, if you are listening via the Mixcloud link, you will hear the song, but unfortunately, there's no video, so you won't see the lyrics. At any rate, grab a mic and sing along if you know the words.
Historical context, because history is the story of all of us.
Musical context, because songs can have a powerful impact on our thoughts, decisions, and behaviors.
Spiritual context, because maturing spiritually prepares us for eternity and pleases our triune God. Do you understand how words work? As we just heard and or read in the song Lean on Me, there's a strong emphasis on letting someone know when we are in need. This may be easier for some than others. So I encourage us all to take the initiative and ask if there is a need and offer what we can to assist. Assistance does not always have to be monetary. We can give a ride, provide tutoring, volunteer our time, or any number of tangible actions that accomplish the act of love. And of course, praying for our neighbors should come naturally as we mature spiritually. Another important note, pun not intended, from that first song, is the acknowledgement that I may also need help one day. This is significant because it keeps a sense of humility present in our thoughts. None of us are above disaster or tragedy. One bad day can change the trajectory of any of our lives. Historically speaking, all three major religions embrace the core principle of love your neighbor as the cornerstone of basic civility. It's found in the Torah, Bible, and Quran. In fact, the Prophet Muhammad emphasized the importance of the practice even if your neighbor is not Muslim, which further supports the expanded definition of your people. Our first guest is Pastor Darren Monroe, founder and lead pastor of Chosen Generation Ministries in Newark, New Jersey. Pastor Monroe is also a microbiologist in the food industry. Welcome, Pastor Monroe, and thank you for joining us. Let's jump right in. Do you consider love your neighbor as yourself a core and basic human practice for a civil society?
Hey, Miss Nina, yes, I do. I think it's a core of human society because it allows us to be able to connect with people, because we were not created to be alone. We was created to be in community. So it's really at the foundation of who we are as people in the world. I strongly agree with that.
Awesome. Thank you. And then also, do you engage your current physical neighbors, people that are in close proximity?
Yeah, I do it each and every day of my life. Whenever I get an opportunity to foster some type of engagement, meaning if it's just a hello or a speak or to let them know that I care or I'm there, I always do that. I try to initiate it because I want people to be comfortable around me and I want to be comfortable around other people. So it's not just where I live at, per se, my next door neighbors, but I do it as I'm walking in the supermarket. I'm doing it as I walk down the street. Just this week, as I was in the mall, And there was a young woman walking up to me, and I can tell that she was having some struggles in her life, and she was of a different nationality. I think she was of Asian descent. But as she saw me coming towards her, she looked up at me, and she was afraid to speak to me. But as she passed me, she spoke to someone else that was behind me. As I continued to walk, Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, go back. So I turned around and I went back because I wanted to bless her, because I saw that she asked somebody else for some money to get some food to eat. And I think I heard her say, do you have a dollar so I can get something to eat? So I caught up with her and I got her attention, and she was shocked that I would even talk to her. I said, hey, is there anything I could do for you? You all right? And she said, you know, can I have a dollar to get something to eat? And I said, well, I'll do better than that. Why don't we go over to the food court and I'll get you something to eat? And she said, really? I said, yeah. So we walked over to the food court. I let her choose what she wanted to eat, and we ended up going to Popeyes. And even though she was just one woman by herself, she ordered a family meal, which was pretty expensive, but that didn't matter to me because I wanted to impact my neighbor. And I consider her my neighbor, even though I just met her. And after she got the food, she said, sir, can you bless me with a pair of pants? I need a pair of pants, because she had on a long coat and I can see her bare legs, and she had no socks on. She just had sneakers. And I said, sure, let's go. And got her a pair of pants and blessed her, not to be seen by anybody or not perform a fashion, but just wanted to show her the love of God, because that's what being a neighbor is all about. It's not about being close to those that are always in close proximity. It's just being close to humanity. I hope that answered your question.
Yeah, wow. And takes us right to the next question. So that's a very good example of demonstrating, you know, love to someone in close proximity. Are there examples that you have or have heard where you can demonstrate that love for someone that is far away, maybe someone in a different country? I know that some of the reading I do, Christians are being persecuted in other countries on a level that we as Americans would not understand or even believe. Is there something that on a distance level, how do we reach out? How do we show our love to those that are not close to us?
Well, I think that happens, Anina, when we, first of all, gain the knowledge of what's going on around us. We can't be so self-centered that we're not even looking for opportunities. I think the key is, if people would try to look for opportunities to love other people, then that will totally shape the way that our society lives, functions, breathes, and takes life. And so you can always find ways to be a blessing to others. It doesn't always have to be monetarily. Sometimes it could just be a shoulder to lean on, or just a call to let somebody know that you care or that you're thinking about them. Of course, when people are being persecuted around the world because of their beliefs or their faith, if there's a way that you can, you know, help them out with the basic needs and necessities of life, that's always a plus. That's always a win-win. But I just think it's about looking for the opportunities to do it. Anytime you got an opportunity to love, I think you should take that opportunity. You should take advantage of that, because you will never be able to experience what being a neighbor is or who your neighbors are unless you're reaching out and you are giving love. So whatever God blesses you with, no matter how big or how small you may think it is, but just giving it back. So again, I go back and say, it's not always in how much you're able to do from a materialistic standpoint. Sometimes it's how much you're able to do from a heart standpoint. Sometimes people just need a shoulder to lean on or an ear just so they can vent. That's the gift they need to know, wow, this person really cares. So you got to show people that you care. And the only way to do that is by action. And that's what it's all about. Sacrificing adjustments, being flexible, being able to switch and maneuver because you just want to put a smile on somebody's face. Because love isn't love until it's given away. So that's how I would respond to that question.
All right. Well, that was a great response. And just to keep you on your toes, you know, help you exercise some of that love, I'm going to ask you another question, a little bit deeper question before we wrap up. Because we mentioned earlier that you don't have to be a Christian, you don't have to be a Christ follower to practice this principle. Can you talk a little bit about how being a Christ follower has actually helped you implement this principle, you know, more? Was there a time when you had to work on this, loving your neighbor as yourself, or has this always come naturally for you? Do you have to lean on the Spirit for, you know, additional strength to help someone in a time when you really would rather go about your business? So talk about that just a little bit.
Well, if I could talk about myself personally, I got to honestly say, I know that I've been chosen to do what I do and to walk the walk that I walk. And the reason I say that is because when I begin to evaluate my life over the many years of living that God has blessed me with, thanking God I'm going to continue to have a long life. All of my life, all I've ever wanted to do was be there for people. And sometimes that could be a downfall in some instances, because some people will take advantage of your kindness, but it's just your makeup. So all of my life, I've always wanted to help people. So I was always the kid that would pick the kids that nobody else wanted to pick to play the games. I would just pick them for my team, even though they wasn't that as good in the particular sport or activity that we were doing. I would choose them anyway, just so they wouldn't feel left out. I was the one that whenever we went on school trips, I always had the crew that were considered to be the nerds with me and my mom, because they would be the last ones to get picked, and it would break my heart to see them sitting there or seeing someone being taken advantage of or being rejected. So for me personally, it was just a part of my makeup. It's just the way God designed me. For others, it might be different. You know, there are some that have to grow into this. And I think what happens, Nina, it's based on your experiences growing up. So if you've been rejected, you've been ostracized, you know, pushed back, then you have a tendency to have walls to protect you, not trusting people, you know, always on your toes and always thinking that something is going to go wrong. Sometimes I love very hard. I'm going to say sometimes, but all the time I love really hard. And it takes a lot to get me to turn away from a person. I just don't. No matter how bad you treat me, stab me in the back, I'm still there for you, because my mindset is I just want to have the love of Christ, which is an agape love, which is an unconditional love. And so if we're going to call ourselves Christians, we're saying that we're followers of Jesus. That means that we take on the characteristics of Jesus. And so we always begin to say there's two sides of every story. And we never begin to look at the background. Sometimes we just want what we want for ourselves here and now. Well, it's about me. It's what I want. What I want to be happy. What makes me feel good. But what Jesus is teaching, when you put your neighbor before you, then all that stuff that you want comes anyway. Because the Bible says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So I'm always sowing support. I'm sowing love. I'm sowing peace. I'm sowing opportunities. I'm sowing ways for people to make peace with me. I open up that door because what I want to do is I just want to be like Jesus, which is what we're supposed to do. I want to be conformed into the image of God's Son. And so that comes with practice. And the more you do this, the better you become at it. And you begin to realize, wait a minute, people aren't taking advantage of me. I'm just setting myself up to be all that God would have me to be, because he placed me here to be a good neighbor. So sometimes you got to become what you want to see. You got to be the action. You got to do it. And there are times when you got to show people what it's supposed to look like, because everybody doesn't know. So we assume, because we know, that we're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves. But there are some people that don't know that. In today's society, a lot of the preaching is very self-centered. You know, take care of yourself, self-wellness. Don't let people walk all over you. But that's really not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that we ought to be servants one to another. And sometimes being a servant, people will walk over you. But when you know who you are in Christ, and you know that just because you are doing me wrong, it doesn't mean that I'm less than. The greatest among you is a servant. Jesus said, I came not to be served, but to serve. And this is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he came to serve. So what greater example do we have than him? And we call ourselves Christians. And he said, they will know you are my disciples by how you love one another. And then he also says, if you love me, then you will keep my commandment. And if I can add this caveat in there, the reason a lot of us have trouble keeping the commandments and doing what God has called us to do is because we are not filled with the Holy Spirit, because he is the one that helps us to do that. Jesus says that when I leave, and it's expedient that I leave, because if I don't go, I can't send that gift to you. And you need that gift in order to walk this walk. You need this gift in order to forgive when nobody forgives you. You need this gift in order to love when you're not loved. You need this gift in order to stand when somebody's knocking you down, because the Holy Spirit guides you into all truth, orders your steps, and brings all things back to your remembrance. So that's my answer to that question.
And amen to that. That was very insightful and helpful, Pastor Monroe. I appreciate that. And we appreciate your time. Before we let you go, there's just one more question. Is there a song for you that embodies the emotional expression of love your neighbor as yourself, and why?
You know, Nina, I'll be honest with you. I thought about that, and I could not think of any particular song, but when I gave it some more thought and pondered on it, I would have to say there's a song that Walter Hawkins wrote many years ago called Change. And I think for me that embodies it, because our world needs a change. People need to change. And that change comes from Christ. That change comes from having the Spirit of God reign and dwell inside of you. When you change, your world changes. You know, the scripture, Romans 12 and 2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We have to change our mindset, change the way that we see life, change the way that we see people, change the way that we see ourselves as God's anointed. And so, like, even as we're doing this podcast, we're doing it to impact change and influence change. You know, we are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. Everywhere we go, everything we do, we should be influencing change, so that we're touching somebody else's life. Because life is all about relationships. It's not about an isolated moment. We're supposed to be with people. Everywhere we go, people should know that we're there. Because either we are inducing thirst because we're salt, or we're brightening the room because we're light. That's change. And when you love your neighbor, you want to induce them to do better. You want to influence them to do better. You want to impact them to do better. And you also want to shine a light on their life so that they can see the right way. You never see a person in a burning building and say, hey, how you doing? You see a person in a burning building and say, hey, get out. The house is on fire. Save your life. That's what a neighbor does. And with that, I drop the mic.
Very good. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for this opportunity to spend some time with you and to hang out and talk. This is a good conversation.
Absolutely. Now, let's listen to Changed by Walter Hawkins. Listen for who does the changing and what those changes now enable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today
with Ms. Nina Davis.
Do you understand how words work? And with that, we conclude the first segment of Love Your Neighbor as Yourself for Do You Understand How Words Work? We discussed and now understand better the words love, neighbor, and how the phrase is intended to be practiced. We also now know that you don't even have to be religious at all to practice this golden rule, but maturing spirituality, which we'll discuss more in segment 3, helps grow the practice of loving our neighbors as ourselves from the inside out. Stay with us as we take a quick musical break. Coming up next, we discuss what society has to say on the matter of loving your neighbor as yourself. Y'all know, she always has to get her 2 cents in the mix. Society, that is. She can be messy. But first, let's listen to or read the lyrics, depending on how you're accessing Do You Understand How Words Work, to Get It Together by India Re, and start thinking about how we love ourselves. How are we treating ourselves? Are we compassionate and gentle, or harsh and critical with ourselves? Is that why we're like that with others? It's very difficult to love others when we don't know how and don't practice loving ourselves. Hashtag real talk, hashtag facts.
You know, God made me funky.
Visit our website at www.dyuhww.org. Do you understand how words work?